Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, free and easy. Daughter's graduation, Ohio State yesterday. No more tuition payments. Isn't that a pleasure? One of the questions I do have, though, is why aren't tuition payments tax deductible? Can anybody out there answer me that question? They suck your eyes out, and yet you can't deduct it. I'd like to know why, if we want higher education for everybody, why they don't allow you to deduct the tuition. Just out of curiosity, you know, just finished my second, so 2 years in a row I've had two graduations, and $500,000 later, and not a deduction to be found. I'd like to know where that comes from. But in the meantime, markets are higher. We had that nice reversal on Friday. And, you know, again, just look at the overall trend. It's still lower in the S&P and in the Dow. And we can continue to try to make it up like it's going to be great and like everything's in good shape. And the jobs were brutal once again. But, of course, you did get a 4 cents an hour raise, so you should be thrilled with that. Another 4 cents an hour. So now we're up to maybe getting a hot dog at a baseball game if we work a whole year to get one hot dog. It's really sad that we want to pretend like all this stuff is in great shape and that we're just motoring along. But of course, the huge corporate America is having a great time because they just continue to get to buy their stock back with cheaper dollars, and our friends at the Federal Reserve continue with their ridiculous nonsense, which is just almost criminal. I mean, it's not criminal, but it's almost criminal. I mean, it's just a shame that we don't let the free markets trade. I find that just pathetic, and I find that really just an abysmal way of doing things. And of course, we're talking about interest rates, and interest are going higher. You know, you can talk all you want about how they're you know, the Fed's holding them down. Well, the Fed, the bond traders don't care about the Fed. All right. The bond traders don't care about anything. They're pushing these rates higher, and you can see they're going to go higher. And of course, the dollar is spiking higher once again and has now, you know, pushed into areas not seen for a while and just pushing up against 93. I mean, we're going to par. We're going higher than that. And you can say whatever you'd like to say about it. It doesn't really matter because they're going up. The dollar's going higher. And the interest rates are going higher, and that is going to be, in our opinion, the black swan event that will occur. And, you know, again, but the longer we ignore it, which we will, this is not new. Okay. We as investors and traders, continue to listen to the pundits that say, oh, everything is great. The world is great. The numbers are great. And the numbers are not great. The numbers suck. All right. You know, we have a lack of sales. Retail sales continue to fall. Malls are closing as fast as they can. We're losing jobs, except for those that, you know, you can make $10 an hour. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but certainly a $10 an hour job for somebody who's used to making 25 or 30 is not going to encourage them to start spending more money. So where, how and where are we going to stimulate the economy? That's what I'd like to know. Where is the stimulation going to come into these markets, you know, and into the economy? Forget about the markets for the moment. Where's the stimulation going to come? All right, you know, so if we consider who's actually invested in the market, a very small percentage of the population is actually invested, other than potentially, you know, retirement and 401 accounts, 401ks. But we can continue to ignore, which we will. This is, again, this is not news. This is a same old, same old. And ignoring what really is out there is a sad event. Because, again, we will all always end up with the same meltdown. And, of course, in the markets will rally. But the problem is that the people that can least afford it will panic out of the market once again. And, of course, that will let the new money come in and take advantage. And this is, you know, pretty much what we see over and over again. And I find it, you know, sad. You know, and you watch, you know, we've got all the oil bulls that are loading up in oil. And you know, listen, does not feel good to be short oil right here. And again, I wouldn't recommend it unless you get a lot of cash and a cast iron constitution. But oil is pushing higher. And, you know, it's all based on a fear trade. You know, we've got the Iran deal coming in play this week, and that the trouble in the Middle East now. One of the things that doesn't make a lot of sense, and what does it matter about the Middle East anymore? We have enough of our own oil. We don't need the Middle East. So I'm concerned and curious as to why we believe that we should be pushing up oil, and the oil bulls are having the time of their lives, as they did in 2014 with this exact same pattern. And as we always say, you know, markets do the same things over and over again, and patterns repeat themselves, and this is no different. In fact, it's almost exactly 4 years from now, 4 years ago, that we saw this exact same action happen, and we are on highs we haven't seen since then. So, you know, what does it mean? Well, it means that, you know, oil is being artificially pumped up in here right now. And, you know, the backwardation formation that we see in oil, which means that if I'm going to hedge oil, I can go out, you know, an extended period of time from now and buy it a lot cheaper than buying it here, says to me that, hey, you know, better watch out. But of course, we can't fight that, you know, from a trading standpoint. You know, at some point you just have to say, hey, I'm wrong for now, and I'll have to look for a better entry. And I think that's probably the place we're in right now. I mean, you know, again, I'm continuing to stay short oil, and I will continue to do so. But at some point, I may be forced out. But you have to always judge your own personal finances to decide how much you want to lose if it continues to go higher. And certainly, I can't say it will not go higher. But certainly, I would say to you that the odds are that it breaks and breaks hard are much higher. And the higher we push it, the way we're pushing it up, the more likely it does come to break down. But again, congrats to my guy who said it was going to 70. It is at 70. It's over 70. So that's something that, of course, we're not ignoring it. We're just saying that, again, based on what we see and based on what we do, we don't figure that it has much room left to run. But again, we didn't think it could get this high. So that is always a case to keep in mind. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and glad to be back. Tired, but glad to be back. And, of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm, the only station you need. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you for free every single day at at BubbaTrading.com. Again, all I have to do is fill out the little box, and you can I'll send you a little video every day, 3 to 5 minutes of what I saw, what I expect to see, and we can go from there. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be back with Jane King from Lila Max Media after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're coming right back to you. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the unbelievably talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And Jane King, what's up?
Oh, just making it through another week. Finally, it feels like summer in New York, so that has that's been a nice change.
It is amazing,
like
isn't it?
Too, for months and months.
So maybe they won't have any excuse in the next quarter when the GDP is low again because it's because of the weather, right?
Well, probably too hot. Actually, it's probably the weather's just so perfect. Nobody wants to go shopping.
You know, it's amazing at these when you look at some of these retail sales. And, you know, again, listen, people are not spending money. I think that's pretty evident, you know, in a lot of areas. Yeah, they're going to some restaurants, but in the actual retail space, they're not spending a lot. In fact, I think a lot of people are actually hoarding money in their checking accounts right now because they're really afraid to spend because they're still so uncertain. What do you think?
Well, and I think a lot of it, too, like particularly clothing, like I don't need any more clothes. I mean, my closet is full. I think that there's just a lot of, you know, there's no compelling need to run out there and buy a bunch of clothes. I don't think people care as much about fashion as they did, like, even 15, 20 years ago. Like, I remember, you know, you had to have the latest bag and you had to have the latest coat, the boots. And, you know, and it's like, I just don't think people care anymore. And this is part of it, like, millennials. I think they've ushered that in. I don't think they're quite as status and label conscious as previous generations of this, which is a good thing, I think.
You know, I think it's fine, but I mean, it does, you know, we are seeing a lot of these small businesses, you know, get destroyed, really. I mean, you know, you can blame Amazon as part of it, but again, I don't think people are actually spending as much because I don't know how great the overall recovery is. If you go, you know, coast to coast, yeah, there's some states that have done great in this economic recovery, but there's many that have not done very well. And I know you are basically in about 9 billion markets with your stuff. What do you hear from the individual markets that you deal with?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we have this school fundraiser every year, and the PTA at my kids' school, it's a public school in New York, is one of the best PTAs. It's got to be in the nation. I mean, they're so active, and they raise about $800,000 for school at this auction. And there's about 12 live items, and they're always something big, like a chef comes to your house and makes your dinner, or there's a trip in, you know, Italy or something. And we noticed, like, none of those things went for what they've gone for in the past, even during the recession, like 2011, 2012. And, you know, my husband and I were kind of like, wow, that's interesting. What does that say about the economy? I just think people are kind of tapped out. I think a lot of people have credit card debt. Interest rates are starting to go up. I think people are trying to just kind of, and again, I just think we have, I mean, I look at stuff and I'm like, well, that'd be cool, but I really don't want to pay a bunch of money for it. And so I ended up not buying anything. So I think that, you know, I just think there are a lot of people in that boat right now. We're all kind of trying to pull the reins a little bit, pay down some debt, and save some money.
And I think that's, again, one of the problems. And I do think when we look at markets, you know, we're in a little bit of a downtrend, you know, since we made the highs in January. And you know, we've had some whipsaw rallies. But, you know, typically, you know, I don't know if it's your experience, but typically when we're in a downtrend, you get these, I call them the rip your face off rallies, because what they do is they trap everybody short and then they run them up. But are you seeing any of that, or what are your thoughts of the markets here? Now, I know you and I both agree, so before you answer, that the markets go up over time. It's just in this particular time, do you think that they still have a lot of room on the upside, or do you think there should be some selling coming in?
Well, they've just kind of been turning around. I mean, if we hit the high on January 26th, and we've been stuck between like 24,000 and just over 25,000 since then. I mean, it's incredible. Like, it's an extremely tight range. I don't know. I mean, a technician would tell you when you're in a tight range like this, you're gonna just shoot out of it one way or the other. I think a lot of that might just depend on interest rates. It'll depend on trade. It will depend on how things go with China. So I think a lot of people know that there's a lot of big things that are in transition right now and things changing. I think they're just holding on to their money.
Well, and I agree with that. And, of course, you from also, not only are you a big city girl, but you're also from Green Acre. No, you're also a farm girl. And so how is your family? I know you talk to them occasionally about things. And how are they reacting to the potential tariffs, potential trade wars? But, you know, we watch, and I keep hearing the fretting and the hand-wringing on from the pundits on TV, yet I watch the grain prices, they keep going up. So
I know. Well, there was a report yesterday that China's canceling all U.S. soybean purchases. So what did soybeans do? Down 6 cents, which is really not that big of a move, certainly not limit. And you expect to have seen that at times in the past when there would be something big like that. So I don't know. It seems like, you know, I have talked to like my brothers and my nephews about it, and they're kind of mixed. I think they feel like overall that in the long run, this is a good thing. And again, the damage to the market hasn't been as bad as some had feared. So the pundits are wrong again. Shocker.
Well, it's really shocking. And they, you know, they hand ring over it. And I keep tweeting to them. I go, look at the price. All we really care at the end of the day is how much is it, right? I mean, if they're lower, then yes, there's a real concern. If they're higher, then there shouldn't be a real concern. And of course, everybody loves to bash the cryptocurrencies. And I know that you've got a little bit involved because you get actually paid on a job once by some cryptocurrencies. But have you given any more thought to the cryptocurrencies? Did you heard anything? Do you have any thought process of what they're going to be like in the future?
Well, good question. I mean, everybody's been bashing them lately. It was a real Rubini this week, or I can't remember. Was just like Bitcoin is just bullshit. I mean, it was what he said. And I mean, I don't know. There's some compelling reasons for it. There's, you know, the internationalness of it all. And I mean, and it's really tech driven. I mean, the whole thing's tech driven, and it's impossible to imagine where these things go. You know, who would have thought, like, when I was playing around on the internet for the first time in 1994, you know, I'd be watching movies on TV, internet streams. I mean, so you really have to think ahead, like about 30 moves to really get a grasp of what an economy is going to look like. And, you know, I still kind of think they're very interesting. I wouldn't put everything in it. And there's probably only going to end up being two or three currencies. Although, yeah, I was having drinks with a friend of mine. He's a lawyer, does a lot of ICOs, and he was kind of explaining stuff to me. It's a great way to raise capital. You don't give up ownership of the company. I asked him, I was like, well, if I buy a token, what happens? He goes, oh, it's a crypto exchange. It's all traded on a crypto exchange. And the NASDAQ is interested in getting into that. So there's a lot of potential there. I mean, I wouldn't poo-poo cryptocurrencies right now.
No, I think
it's a little different. It's a little hard to get your head around it, but I think that there's a lot of potential there. It's just hard to imagine it right now.
I think there's a lot. I think it's huge. I mean, I wish I didn't miss out. I was a non-believer myself for many years and thought they were, you know, I was talking like everybody else. And then I actually looked into it, and, you know, you start to see the blockchain, which is not a cryptocurrency, but it's the way that they transfer. And, you know, you've got the new, a lot of things are being money transferred with Ripple throughout other areas. So I think that, again, I think this is a financial revolution. This is a way that the people are fighting back because they are kind of circumventing getting rid of the Fed in their own way without getting rid of the Fed. And I think that's something that's interesting. Of course, we did have the Fed this week, and they did nothing as usual. Now, you've been in this business for about 20 years, I guess, now, right? Is that about right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're young. You're still young, but I mean, now, don't you believe, or let me ask you, I don't say don't you believe, but what do you think interest rates should really be right now? And do you think it's enough of this ridiculously low price and they should let just the asset classes price themselves?
Good question. I hadn't thought about what should they actually be. I mean, it's so hard to tell, right? I mean, and you've got all these, we still got an economy that's kind of slogging along a little bit. I mean, things are improving, but the job growth has been okay. I mean, hasn't been great. You still got, I mean, if you're not an engineer of some sort, I mean, the blockchain engineers, 14 jobs for every one person. So, you know, there's a lot of demand there, and they're paying, you know, $175,000-$200,000 a year for those engineers. But there's a lot of other jobs you can't find it. We've got the universities, which are just so screwed up right now. And I mean, I think there's just a lot of problems we got to work through. So I don't know, maybe interest rates a little bit higher where they were, but I think the Fed's starting to kind of let that happen a little bit. And we're seeing it in the free market. Interest rates are going up. They're down a little bit this week, but in general, the trend is higher.
The words, according to Jane King, Lyle Max Media, the Katrina Report. Jane, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
It's our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Katrina Report, and of course, this is The Bubba Show. Make sure you download the show every day at libertytalk.fm, and don't forget about the Sporting Edge as well with this weekend's Kentucky Derby. In the meantime, don't forget about our high school investing program. If you'd like to help us out, go to Patreon, patreon.com/Bubba Trading, and you can help us continue to help educate the youth. That's where our goal and objectives are, is to continue to help our youngsters out and help the school programs out that have no money. So we actually support the program and give it to them for free. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. With Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. So, Matt, you know, they just had the Milliken Conference. You know, some investors are garbage as usual. And, of course, the cryptos got bashed relentlessly while they were there. And, you know, one of the things I think about the crypto space is that, A, the non-believers, they want to bash it. The non-understanders, they want to bash it. And also the people that may be trying to sneak in the back door are trying to keep the lid on it for a while until they can accumulate their positions. What do you think?
Oh, I know. I mean, we'll look at, so, you know, I think we talked about this last time, but George Soros thought that, you know, cryptos were a bubble, what, just last year, just, you know, end last year. I mean, and you could make that point. I mean, it was going up very quickly, but suddenly he's had a change of heart, and now he's a buyer. The Rockefellers, their venture arm is getting into cryptos now, and you're getting institutional guys that you know, said one thing, you know, last year, and then they're changing their mind, and they're buying now. So I mean, they're, you know, it's kind of the same games you see with Goldman and J.P. Morgan and the rest of them, where they, you know, they'll say one thing and they'll do something else. You know, and they want to move the market down perhaps so they can buy in, you know, cheap. Or they want to move the market out up so that they can, you know, blow out a position. So.
And they can short it. Look, this is there ain't nothing new here. You know, I always try to explain to everybody, you know, when I was on the trading floor, you know, I traded on the floor. I was involved. I was right there so I could see what's going on. And the big banks, Goldman and JP and others, would have two brokers, and one would be a buyer and one would be a sell broker. But what they would do, and the pits were so big, you know, when I traded in the OEX, the pit was so gigantic that you couldn't see both sides of the pit, right? There was 3,000 traders in there. And they'd have their buy broker go on one side and create a little bit of buying excitement, but what they were really trying to do is sell it on the other side. And that's, you know, again, this is no different in any product. Look, when there's money involved, we've talked about it many times, money creates things that we don't always want to see. And I'm sure that a lot of these guys bought it. I mean, Goldman Sachs turned somebody down for an investment in cryptos years ago. And I think they got right in after that. But now you've got J.P. Morgan that is using crypto. They're filing a patent for blockchain-powered payments. Now, again, yeah. There's Jamie Dimon, who said this is the biggest piece of crap ever. And, oh, geez, he's involved. And I'd love to get inside their books. I bet they bought a ton of it anyways a long time ago. What do you think?
It would be really interesting. But, yeah, it's hard to know if it's hard to know what he's saying. When he's talking, it's hard to know what if he's saying is what he's really thinking. I mean, it's when he said it, when he said, you know, it was September 12th when he said Bitcoin's a fraud, it's a tulip mania, I'm going to fire any, you know, employee that's trading in it. It seems sincere. It's hard to know if they were actually, you know, buying at that time. But as of recently, he's, you know, sort of said he regrets those comments. He's withdrawing that, you know, statement more or less. And, you know, I would be really curious what they're doing now. I mean, they're, you know, it's JP and it's Goldman, and you know that Goldman just bought indirectly. They bought Poloniex through a venture of theirs called Circle. So Goldman's getting into the, you know, the they want to get in on the exchange business, I believe. So I would think JP's looking at that. If they're not already working on something of their own, they're probably thinking about doing it soon.
Okay. So, sure they want to be in. Who wouldn't want to be in the exchange business? That's like stealing money, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the clearing agent always makes the money, right? I can't blame him for wanting to get into that. I'm just, again, I don't like, you know, I compare this, and many others do, to the internet. I mean, this is no different than the internet bubble that we had. And was Bitcoin in a bubble at 20,000? Probably. That's why it went to 5. I mean, markets have a way to correct and price the assets themselves. But as long as there's buyers and sellers, you know, remember, we're not creating a true Ponzi scheme. I mean, the Fed is a Ponzi scheme. They can print new money to satisfy all debt. But the Bitcoin is, and cryptocurrencies in general, you go on your exchange, you buy or you sell. And there has to be if you're a seller, there has to be a buyer. And what's the other key thing? It has to meet price discovery. You got to meet at a price. So you're not, you know, you're not selling a Ponzi scheme where you're borrowing money from people to put in your pocket. You're actually exchanging wealth back and forth, either, you know, Bitcoin for Ethereum, whatever, however you're doing it. So to me, I don't know how they can possibly call it a Ponzi scheme. A bubble, yes. I certainly, you called the bubble. You called the top of Bitcoin at 20,000. So, yeah. I mean, you knew that. So tell me about that.
Well, you know, I think they're calling this a Ponzi scheme because they're trying to draw your attention away from their Ponzi scheme. But, I agree totally. I think if you look at the space as a whole and you say, you know, what are all the applications of decentralized technologies, is going to be, you know, you're going to have a lot of them. Whether you use them directly for value exchange, like one, you know, like Bitcoin is just a currency coin, it doesn't do much else, and you have other currency coins, they're all vying for sort of a spot in world currency, and that's going to be worth a lot, because that is going to eventually happen. But, you know, how many winners are there going to be? I don't know. There's probably, you know, going to be a handful of big winners in the currency end of it, but there's a lot more than that. You have data stores, you have identification, ID verification. I mean, you have what else? You have supply chain management. You have all kinds of things. Like if you are buying a gallon of milk at the grocery store, you can track that all the way back to the original cow that produced it. I mean, so in a lot of ways, and you can do that with every product using blockchain. So you can know that if you have a more complex product, you know every little part that was in it and have quality control all the way back to the original source. I mean, even if you don't, you know, use cryptocurrencies today and you don't see the point of all this stuff, the technologies are being integrated, you know, across the board, across all industries, and will make things much more efficient and bring down costs and bring up quality. And so what I'm trying to say is that this is a new technology, it's fundamentally different. And is it worth, right now, you know, we're talking about the whole space being worth $450 billion. Is it worth that? I think it's worth a lot more. So, you know, it's not a Ponzi scheme. It has a lot of value, and I think it's going a lot higher. And if just one of these cryptocurrencies turns into a real world currency, then you're talking trillions, you know. And so really what's going on now, you know, with these bigger ones like Bitcoin and Ethereum and some of the others, is they're thinking these may be world currencies in the future. I think Bitcoin is not going to be the winner, but within what we're seeing already, I think there is a winner, and that's got to be worth trillions.
EOS. So
the whole market should be higher. It could be EOS.
I hope. Absolutely. I got some. Let it be BitShares. But anyway, so now, of course, you know, this week is the Oracle of Omaha, who I don't have a hell of a lot of respect for. Anyways, I mean, I like to respect what he does, but, you know, a lot of things he says I don't agree with. But Charlie Munger called Bitcoin rat poison. And, of course, Buffett says that it's not investing. And I say, well, why is it not investing? Bitcoin, like anything else, is an investment. Every investment doesn't have to work. You know, I mean, Warren Buffett did buy Goldman Sachs at 135 and watch it go to 20. I mean, it's fortunate for him. He's a billionaire, so he could afford to take the hit. But, you know, not too many people could have done that with that. And so why is this not an investment? I mean, I can understand you don't have to like it, but it's still an investment, is it not?
Yeah, it's totally an investment. And, you know, look, he's, you know, sort of famously known for not doing technology because he's like, I only do things I understand. I understand Dairy Queen. I understand furniture. I understand, you know, candy. It's like, that's great. He understands insurance, which is a, you know, great business. But, you know, I don't really take, you know, it, you know, a lot of this is Warren Buffett. He's like the oh shucks guy, grandfather. He's really a shark, I think. He's, you know, he's the original hedge fund guy. But I don't know if they have an axe to grind with crypto for some reason, or if they're in with, you know, the powers that be that don't like crypto. Why they would take such a negative stance, I don't know. But maybe it's because they want to tell people. They don't want people going elsewhere away from their what they do. I don't know.
Well, people wouldn't go away anyway. I mean, again, to me, especially a guy like him, because a big part of his business could take payment from cryptocurrencies. Yeah. Listen, he's a billionaire. He's done very well. It's a funny story. A guy I know once came to the golf. We played golf with us, and he was an older gentleman, and he said he was laughing. He said, I just paid $57,000. I bought 3 shares of a stock. Okay, for $57,000. Happened to be Berkshire A. You know, it was 35 or 40 years ago. So right. I can't take it away from him that he's a smart guy and he's a great investor. But I do not understand why he tries to somewhat mislead others away from investments that are real. I mean, again, you and I agree that Bitcoin, and again, I keep saying Bitcoin, that's like the brand name, that's like Coke, right?
It's
cryptocurrencies are real. They're going to be here for forever, I think. Will they go through some rocky periods? We just saw one. I'm sure there's more coming, I think. But at the end of the day, I believe that they are going to be around and you're going to see them adopted. And I think this is the financial revolution that I've talked about many, many times over the last few years, that people are tired of the Fed. But we're going to come back with more after the break with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you check out CryptoInvestorX.com, where Matt has prepared a number of special reports to kind of help guide you through these cryptocurrency world. And so go to CryptoInvestorX.com. And of course, we're going to step up. This is The Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his stuff at DemeterResearch.com as well as at CryptoInvestorX.com. The Bubba Show, Ty Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back to you with more from Matt after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. The Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and Todd Horowitz, Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. So, Matt, of course, the markets had some major movement last week at the end. They were still lower for the week, but from Thursday morning, when the equities were down about 400, and then on Friday after the jobs, they went down a couple of hundred and then came all the way back. And the last 2 days, there was about, I don't know, about 800 or 900 points from the bottom. What did you think of the action, and what do you think going forward?
Well, I think we didn't quite get down to my target support, but we did break above what I think was declining resistance. And this time I'm a little bit more confident that happened. We ended the week, you know, hourly indicators were a little bit overbought at the end of the week. So this week we could see a little bit of a pullback. I don't know. I think we're probably going to see more upside now. And I'm not saying that we didn't already, you know, top, because I think that's your position. But I do think that we could run back towards the highs. You know, and I'm looking at what the commercials are doing with their VIX position. They're still short VIX as of today, even after volatility has fallen. So, I mean, you know, until they get long back onto the long side of the VIX futures, I could see us drift. I could see us go higher. We broke declining resistance. I think that's you know, a bullish sign. So for right now, I'm going to lean a little bit more bullish than bearish, but I'm going to wait for I'm not going to buy right here. I'm going to wait for a little bit of a pullback.
Yeah, I don't see it. Now, again, you and I do work a little bit differently, but to me, it still seems it hasn't violated my resistance to the upside. But again, I'm not a seller, you know, at the bottoms. I'm looking for a rally to sell, and that's what I'll continue to do at this moment. I think that, you know, again, I'm not saying we can't rally. I mean, I say very confidently that there are always going to be rallies, especially in markets that are starting to turn into bear markets. The rallies are just much more vicious. So if you can catch them, and you're long at the right time, obviously those moves. I mean, if you'd have been long from Thursday morning, man, that was a hell of a ride back up, right? From 400 down to 300 up. It's pretty big stuff. But
I'm just talking about a trade. By the way, I'm just talking about like short-term trading. What would I do in the next week? Overall, I think, you know, yes, I did say we'd go back up to the highs. I still think that's possible because, as you know, I wasn't quite – you know, happy with exact. I wanted to go a little bit higher in NASDAQ. We did hit my, you know,
right.
secondary target and then fell from there, which was fine. But, other markets I'm seeing, like Nikkei never finished to the downside. They've, you know, Nikkei's got a target down in the, 3,000 points lower that it never hit, that it still needs to hit. So I could go both. That's a problem. Right now we're in between. We're in the in between zone, and I don't think we finished to the downside overall. But the question is, do we up first or we go down first?
It probably could go up first. Again, I would not say that would be a problem. I don't see we see new highs this year. But again, listen, that's what makes a market, right? You have your indicators, I have mine, and you know we're both on the same page longer term. But in the short term, you know, and certainly I could not. I couldn't say that we couldn't go higher. Certainly, I always say that you got to be prepared. That's why you never want to. So that's not why you never want to chase them up when you're buying them. You want to never chase them down when you're selling them. You got to wait for the right spot. But of course, that takes me to my biggest headache, and that's oil. Oil has been, you know, I had thought that it had topped last week with that blow off up, and or a couple of weeks ago, and then we started to churn and started to go lower. We're getting a little bit of a wedge pattern. And then son of a gun, we got into consolidation and they popped them on Friday. What do you make of that? I know that your target was a little bit higher anyways, like 70 and change, unless it's declined under 70 now. What are you thinking?
No, that's a problem with my target. My target's rising. So as of right now, it's at $70.60. So that would be and that's rising by about 5 cents a day. So, or about 25 cents a week. So, yeah, we're not that far now. I mean, you know, the high 69s. So we're talking about another dollar to the upside, and then it will have clearly hit my target. And then I think we could, you know, fall away from there. I'm still short, you know, and, taking some pain there. Other things that we're doing are working out well. So that's, you know, taking some of the pressure off.
Right.
So I want to hold this position short. If you look at, you know, what the commercials are doing, I think they hit a new, you know, I haven't checked it just yet, but I think they hit a new all-time record short position this past week. I'm looking at it right now. They came very close. They didn't quite make a new record, but they are super short and more short than with the exception of one reading than they've ever been in the past, you know, 20, 25 years.
Now, you know, I look at other things in there. I look at the backwardation and contango. Mm-hmm. And, of course, June oil is more expensive than December oil, which is incorrect from a natural standpoint. So, again, I can see it now as a technician. And because of your model, would you just be happy if it would just spike up a dollar on Monday and take out that resistance level, because then that would clear everything? Or would you don't care? I mean, I'm just curious from a technician.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, you know, when you're you'd like to see it happen sooner rather than later, because like I said, it's a rising target. So the longer it takes to get there, the more it'll move against me. So yeah, no, tomorrow I'd like to see it just fire up, hit the line, and then die. That would be the idea.
$19 is coming, baby. All right. So
exactly.
Now gold, you know, gold has been very challenging. And of course, in my eyes, it broke down when it broke below 1310, although we closed higher than that. I think that's pretty good. I think that brings under 1300 into play. And I know you had a higher target that was declining. What are you thinking of gold now? It did bounce from a very oversold condition. What do you think of it here?
Yeah, it did get under the 200-day moving average. And whenever that happens, you get a lot of technical selling. So it's right underneath. It's just underneath it right now where it closed on Friday. So I have inclining supports and I have declining resistance. So it's turning into a wedge. The wedge crosses in September or October. But right now I have support at 1290, and then just below that I have support at 1260. To the upside I have it's 1395 essentially is where my target is now. Okay. I was saying 1400s, but it's declining. So, you know, we haven't touched either side yet. Once we you know, right here we're closer to support, so I'd be more of a buyer here. You know,
I agree.
Yeah, I'd be a buyer. I'd be a buyer if gone to my head, I would be buying here, but you know, we could go a little bit lower before we haven't actually touched my rising supports yet.
And I thought 1280 would be the number, but I mean, that's close enough. In between yours, 1260, 1290. So again, I'm certainly bullish over long term, but I think that, you know, my trade right now is to be short gold, long silver, which I think is what the banks are now as well, correct?
Yeah, well, they're not long silver yet, but they're they have a tiny, tiny short position, which for them is they're always short silver. So the fact that they have a tiny, tiny short position is actually very bullish.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like for them, yeah, it's like being long. And then, of course, the bonds, you know, I know you think that the 10-year has gone significantly higher. Now, it did push over 3%, closed at 294.4. I think it's going higher, and I think that it's just being kind of suppressed a little bit, but I think that they're going higher, quicker. And, of course, what do you think? You're still looking for a much higher move?
Long term, definitely much higher. Short term, you know, it's a tough call in the short term because I'm looking at RSIs right in the middle. They're at 50, so you know, it could go higher, it could go lower. There's no short term pressure either way for me, but longer term, I'm a bear on treasuries, and you know, I'm a bull on the rates. So, and this is, and this, you know, long term, this turns into a total nightmare. It's a spiraling feedback loop that will turn into a total nightmare for the United States. But you know, that's a longer discussion.
We better get into more cryptocurrency, baby. So yeah. All right, so now, of course, we know the bonds, we know the we know what we think about the markets, and the dollar, as you and I both have said quite a while, and you first, but we said the dollar was going to pop, and sure enough, here's up near 93. It's a little bit overbought in my eyes, but I think it still goes higher. It'd probably pull back a little bit because it's consolidating up there at that higher level, but what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, RSI, daily RSI is 75, starting to get, you know, into the red zone here. So... And I see a price pattern that could pull it back. I'm with you. I'm looking for a pullback, and then I think we get another rally out of it. And you know, the commercials are still very short the euro, even though we've had a good pullback in the euro. So, and euro's oversold, so it makes sense to see a bounce in the euro, a pullback in the dollar, and but then. For it to continue, for the dollar to then continue higher and euro to fall some more.
Matt, as always, thanks so much. It's been great.
Todd.
This is the Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're just with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, and that will do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, right here at the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great day, everybody. See you later. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.